Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, good morning. Keith Overt here, broadcasting live, Business Radio X in DeVillers Square here in sunny Pensacola, Florida, for the first time, I think, in 3 weeks. I have a full house in front of me today. I have Mr. Pat Murphy with Success Is Up to Me. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Keith.
Thanks for being here.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
I hope you brought your appetite because we've got some food.
It's great looking food.
Yeah, it smells good too. I have Kristen from My Pink Lawyer.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great.
So I got to ask you about your title too when we get into talking about this stuff. So, and then I've got Doc and Patty here from MB Family Foods who have provided this wonderful smelling room this morning.
Good morning, Keith. Good morning, everyone. We are so excited to be here and share our delicious recipes with you and our sauces.
I'm excited to taste it. I'd skipped breakfast like you asked. Good. So that I could come hungry. Okay. So let's get right into it then. Pat, talk to us about Success and It's Up to Me.
Well, what it is, I'm a contract business skills trainer. For the last probably 13 years or so, I've traveled around the world and taught business classes on how to manage your employees, time management, providing great customer service, really important things like that.
So any particular business at all, or just straight up some really good advice and tactics?
You know, just straight up great business advice that anybody can use. It's universal ideas that, for example, if you're managing your employees, that anybody can adapt to their particular business and the type of employees they have.
So, yeah. So, okay. So give me an example, because let's say I've got a business that has managers, that has some employees that deals with outside businesses. And then I've got a couple people that are maybe some employees, but leaders. But so, yeah, how do you work in those frameworks?
Well, for example, when I'm teaching a class on how to manage your employees, one of the things I talk about is the difference between being a manager and a leader. And, you know, we've all probably known people who are managers by job title, but they're not very strong leaders.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the biggest differences that I see is that a manager criticizes the employees and a leader is a teacher. I mean, a manager walks around and tells you what you did wrong, and a leader says, you know, hey, Keith, you did this wrong, and that's okay, yep, but let's talk about how to prevent it from happening again. And I really believe that employees will look at you differently if they look at you as a leader as opposed to a manager.
So, and you find that a lot, don't you?
It's all over the world.
Yeah. And in my culinary experience, I found that a lot. A lot.
Yeah. I mean, you know, have you ever had this happen before where you work for a company and you're working for a manager and all the employees are walking on pins and needles and
yep,
they're afraid to make mistakes, and it's not a very positive work environment.
Yeah. Or they won't get down there. And my favorite thing was, I would never ask you to do something I wouldn't do myself.
Absolutely. One of the things is a leader leads by example.
Yeah. Even if it means mopping the bathroom.
It does. You want your employees to take the trash out, you take the trash out once in a while.
Yeah. So, okay. So you've got some managers that we all know are not fun to work for. And then you've got leaders, which usually are fun to work for, and you get some loyalty and all that. But what are some of the other reasons you think employees don't meet expectations?
Well, one of the biggest things is that a leader sets very clear expectations. There's no guesswork, you know, with the employees. You know, for example, this is exactly what I want from my team. And, yeah, and one of the easiest ways to do is a very simple three-step process. For example, you know, I expect you guys to do this. And number two is, by this, I mean this. And then I give an example of it. For example, if I want my team to actually be team players, mm-hmm, okay, I might say, I expect everyone to be a team player. And by a team player, I mean, when you're available and a coworker needs help, help the coworker,
yeah,
without being asked to do so. And then, of course, I'd give a real life example of it. You know, for example, Pat, if you're caught up on your work and you see Kristen's got customers in front of her and phones are ringing, get up and help her without, yeah, being asked to do so. So there's no guesswork to it. And, you know, I've often found that, you know, if you're very clear with employees on the front end, you prevent a lot of problems on the back end with,
yeah,
them.
Yeah. Present your expectations up front.
Huh? Yeah, and I think that's one of the most important things that managers, no matter what skill level they have, need to do.
Yeah. And if you don't, you usually end up in the conflict resolution stage, don't you?
Yeah. You've got a lot of problems. And I think what happens is a leader starts to figure this out, the importance of setting clear expectations, but also Another reason they don't meet them is that employees are not punished for not meeting expectations.
Yeah.
And what I find is a lot of times a manager won't say anything because they don't like conflict or they don't like confrontation.
Right.
And so when you don't say anything, what are you telling that employee?
That they can get away with it.
Yeah.
Or that it's expected.
Yeah. It's okay. There is a great simple five-word analogy that I use quite a bit, and it simply says, what you permit, you promote.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever you permit your employees to do, you're promoting it. So if you permit them to walk in late to a meeting, you don't say anything, you're actually promoting that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think one of the final things is that we actually punish people for meeting expectations.
That's true.
I mean, you think about how,
places like that. Yeah.
Sure. How do we punish people? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, for doing a great job.
Yeah, yeah, what, they get more work?
They get more. They get more work. Yeah.
And
usually we take work away from a subpar performer because they're slow, and we give it to somebody who's one of our better employees.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Give it to so and so. They'll get it done.
Yeah. And you ask, how long does it take them to figure that game out?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, like, exactly.
Why am I working so hard if my reward is I get more work dumped on me?
Well, can I ask you a question,
sure,
Pat? So what can employees do then if they're working for managers rather than leaders? You know, how can
charge
they
charge by the hour?
Yeah, how can they manage up?
Charge by the hour.
Well, I think the one of the most important things is establish common ground. In other words, what is every business owner, manager, supervisor motivated by? And that's production, getting things mm-hmm. done. So if you tie it back into how, you know, if you let me do this, or if you allow me to do this, not micromanage me, etc., the result will be more work done. We'll get more production. So you always tie it back in how it's going to benefit the company or the manager and make the manager look good.
Right. Again, that makes perfect sense.
Sure.
So talk to me about the public speaking piece that you do, because I've been really interested in this side of things lately.
Well, you know, I started out back in 2003 right here in Pensacola doing a little public speaking gigs at the apartment council industry. And it kind of took off from there.
Wait, that's an industry?
It is. The apartment industry is all the apartment managers get together and they have this big meeting.
Okay.
And they needed a speaker one time to talk about marketing. I kind of have a marketing background. Mm-hmm. So I gave a talk and they said, this is really good. And so I started talking about giving marketing conferences free to other companies. And long story short, I hooked up with a couple of large seminar companies. This is back in 2003.
Yeah.
And they have sent me around the world teaching business classes. I think there's probably about 300,000 people over the last 13 years.
Yeah. So, okay, give me the worst business scenario that you have had to coach or train or somebody's brought to your lap. And I know there's more than one, but give me one of the worst scenarios.
You know, one of the worst scenarios is people complain that for a family-owned business and the business owner doesn't hold people accountable. There's definitely that perception of favoritism. Mm-hmm. And the problem is you got a lot of good employees who are trying to make a difference. They're trying to do the right thing. And the boss just won't listen to them. I find that a lot. There's so many managers out there who want to do the right thing, but they don't get the support from upper level management. And they're kind of at a standstill. Their hands are tied.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a really tough situation that a lot of people face.
Wow. And we were just talking, Zach, who's here to do some recon stuff. We were just talking about the way that business has been changing over the last year or two, especially here, was simply that there are so many changes happening in the way that companies do business. And some of the younger generations or just some of the out of the box thinkers are starting to speak up. And we were finding that some of the businesses aren't listening. And so these guys that are speaking up are going out and starting their own businesses doing the same service. Because either nobody would listen to them or those that would finally listen to them realize that, hey, you're probably on to something.
Absolutely. You know, when I grew up or my first job out of college, it was kind of the old school as far as the way you manage people. Like, this is my way or the highway, and you listen to one person, that's the manager. Well, times have changed over the years. You know, you look at the millennials coming up, and they're young and they're smart and they're active. And just like you said, is that if they don't like the way they're being treated with respect, they will leave and they will start their own business.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's human nature to want to thrive in a co-creative environment.
Absolutely it is.
Yeah.
Sure.
So what's the best company that you've had that you've done some work with? What's the best lesson you learned from some of the other companies? Maybe that's a better way to ask.
You know, actually, we've had people from Google. in our classes before. And they tell me that Google is a great place to work because they encourage mistakes.
Uh-huh.
They encourage employees to step out of the comfort zone, try new things. They actually give them time to try new things using the Google resources. And I mean, what a great way to show your employees that you care about them and you want them to succeed. I think Google's a great company to work for.
Go ahead and give it a shot.
Yeah. Because I mean, so many times you're afraid to fail because of the repercussion and sort of maybe might even be inclined to hide your mistakes, you know, cover them up or whatever. Rather, wouldn't you have that opportunity to, you know, learn from them? Everybody benefits.
Yeah. And one of the things I always ask the managers in the classes is this, is it okay for an employee to make a mistake? And, you know, a lot of them say, yeah, it's okay. As long as they learn from it.
Right.
But so many employees are deathly afraid of trying something new or making a mistake because of fear of retaliation or mm-hmm. repercussions. So everyone's in a bottle and no one's stepping out on their own. So
your business reminds me of the show, The Prophet.
Oh yeah. The Prophet. Sure.
Okay. So Zach just said that they remind, which you guys can't hear because he's not on mic yet, but he said, your business reminds you of the show, The Prophet. Mm-hmm. So I've never seen the show. So what is that? What is that? Let's give Zach a mic.
He's a management consultant. It's a show on CNBC. He's a management consultant uh-huh. that goes into businesses that have these types of problems where you maybe have a couple really productive people who are doing a great job, but the top management are not quite giving them the authority they need, or you have a couple dysfunctional employees and he goes in and he gets these teams to work together better. So it sounds a lot like that. Yeah.
Sounds like you just found a new business venture, Pat.
I tell you what, I love the show, The Prophet. The other one I really, really like is Undercover Boss.
Yeah, I've seen that one. That one was pretty cool.
Because I think what happens a lot of times is upper level management really has no idea.
They become
ideas.
So detached.
They become very detached. They have no idea what's going on with their employees.
What it really takes to make the donuts.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I have been on both sides of that work, you know, scale. And one of the things I always prided myself with was being in the kitchen and a chef. You didn't have a choice. You got in the trenches or your team didn't care who you were and you didn't make it. So I was able to sort of maintain that balance. But you're right. There were so many companies these days or people that missed that mark and always forget sort of your roots and where you came from.
Absolutely. Yep.
Well, Pat, let's tell everybody where they can get in touch with you and have you come speak or give us some coaching.
You know, it's very simple. If you just go to patmurphy.training, that's the easiest way to find my website. Pat Murphy, MURPHY.training is the suffix to it. So
cool. Awesome. And we'll keep your links on our site too when we're done with our interview today.
Sounds great. Thanks,
we'll,
Keith.
We'll hopefully see you again. So, but thanks for coming by. Hang in for a little while.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, cool.
This is great.
All right. So we're going to pass your mic over to Zach there. I got a feeling he's probably got some more wise things to let us know about. And so next we've got Kristen. Good morning.
Good morning.
So my pink lawyer.
Yes.
Okay. So what? I told you I was going to start you with this question. Why?
Well, in a former life, I drove a pink Cadillac with Mary Kay Cosmetics.
Okay.
And when I was transitioning back from my Mary Kay world back into the legal profession, I thought, what am I going to call my new law practice? You know, should it be something stuffy, like with my name in it and whatever? And I thought, you know what? I'm going to just, for now, as a placeholder, call it My Pink Lawyer. It's a way to reach out to the Mary Kay world where I have a lot of connections to let them know what I'm doing now. And it really just took off within literally a couple of months of starting my own practice, my own law practice. I would have people in the community stop me and say, I don't remember your name, but I know you're that My Pink Lawyer lady. And so anything close, if you Google anything close to pink and law, you will find me.
You got you.
Even Pink Lady, you come up with me. So
that is absolutely genius. I'll give you that. So you let me get this straight. You did law and all that prior to, and then kind of chilled and did the Mary Kay thing, and then decided that.
Interestingly enough, I was actually in my building where I am now as an employee of another firm, which it was great. I was there for 7 years doing the same type of law that I do now. And then my kids were born. They were young. And I decided that at the time I wanted a little more flexibility to be at home with them. Little did I know that when you're someone with drive and ambition, mm-hmm. having your own home-based business doesn't necessarily mean you have a lot of time and flexibility.
That is very
true. But I would, but it was successful, and I did earn that coveted pink Cadillac, which was awesome. But after about 6 years, I realized, you know what, I really need to take back a little bit more control of my life. And I really did like practicing law.
Yeah.
But when you work for yourself for a while, it's really hard to go back and work for somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how my pink lawyer was born.
Yeah. So you said, I'm not going to work for somebody else. I'm going to go do this.
I mean, because frankly, I'm the best boss I ever had.
I know, right? So, and you listen to your employees too, don't you?
I try to. In fact, we have a firm meeting when I get back to the office where we're going to sit down and brainstorm our goals for 2016.
Very cool. All right. So let's talk about the law that you practice and what you provide.
Yep. So I have four main practice areas. My first one is, if you put it under the umbrella of estate planning, wills, trusts, and estates. A subcategory of that, if you want to count it its own category, is special needs planning for parents who have disabled loved ones in their life. So there's special planning considerations when you have loved ones who are special needs.
Sure.
Then I also handle uncontested probate and trust administrations after somebody passes away to help with the hopefully orderly transition of assets and other affairs to the next generation. And then I also handle certain types of guardianship matters. Guardians for minor children. So if both parents are out of the picture, having someone appointed to raise them until they reach 18, which is the age of adulthood in Florida. And also guardians.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I know. I know. No, legally, it is. But as my kids are getting older, 14 and 16, I'm thinking, really? That's going to happen way too soon.
I'm right there with you.
And the other type of guardianships that I handle are for developmentally disabled persons. So you may have a child who has autism. Yeah. They're turning 18. They're legally an adult, but they're still not in a position to manage their own finances and other affairs. So I help parents or other, usually family members or interested parties, be appointed guardian advocate for those individuals.
Yeah. So, okay, with that being said, there's probably a lot of people in town that you work with, isn't there?
Yes.
Like, I mean, are you what are some of your clients?
Demographic wise, you mean?
Well, sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, estate planning, I would say the bulk of my clients for estate planning would be women and couples on the younger side.
Yeah.
I'll say middle aged because they're between 30 and 60, but I fall within that. And I certainly don't consider myself middle aged.
Yeah,
but
I'll take younger side, please.
Yeah, younger side. Yeah. a lot of estate planning attorneys really focus on retirees.
Yeah.
That's not who I focus on. I'm focusing on a younger demographic, usually folks that have not even thought that they need to do planning because they're too young.
Yeah.
But everybody has a need to get their affairs in order to protect their loved ones when the inevitable happens. And none of us know when that's going to be.
Because otherwise, who gets it?
Yeah. Well, there are default rules on the books,
laws
on the books that say who's going to inherit everything. And unfortunately,
it might not be what you want.
Exactly. And the other important thing, which really I think grabs most clients, is if something happens to them, they have young kids.
Yeah.
Or they're in a special family type of situation, a blended marriage, a judge who doesn't know you, doesn't know your family or your family dynamics is going to be the one making the decisions about who raises your kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's scary.
And that's pretty scary for a lot of people.
Yeah.
If it's on the probate and trust administration side, really it would be anyone who's had a loved one that's died who needs to take over and wrap things up.
Right. So talk to me about the developmentally disabled and stuff like that, because to me, that's something you don't always think about.
Right.
Them needing anything legally.
Right. Well, on, let's say, the inheritance side of things.
Sure.
If something happens to you and you have a disabled child, the last thing you want to do, and I think most parents get this, you don't want to leave money or property outright to that child, right? For obvious reasons, they can't manage it.
Right.
So they think, well, I've heard of these trust things. I'll just put it in a lifetime trust for them. And But the problem with that is if your disabled loved one is eligible for public assistance benefits,
right,
that type of lifetime trust
takes them out of the other pool, right?
Right. It jeopardizes their public assistance benefits.
Right.
Or the other thing I'll see parents say is, well, I'm going to leave everything to this other child, a sibling, who knows what my wishes are and they're going to take care of their sibling.
Right.
Which may or may not happen.
Yeah.
So a better way is diverting any type of inheritance to that disabled child to what we call a supplemental needs trust or special needs trust,
yeah,
which is a special type of lifetime trust for that child. You get to choose who's right, going to manage the property and the money, and it preserves their lifetime public assistance benefits,
right,
as well.
Which also would probably help with their health and things
absolutely,
like that. So.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
See, and I mean, you learn something new every day, right?
Absolutely.
So I had no idea that kind of, I can completely understand it now, but that thought obviously had never crossed
my mind. And really, the thought I have found sometimes doesn't cross the mind
sure,
of a parent who's in that situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're so caught up in the day-to-day
exactly,
caretaking that you forget about the long-term plan.
Exactly. Yeah. And you want to name someone to be the guardian
absolutely,
to actually care day to day for that child for the rest of their life.
Absolutely.
So
it's part of your strategy also to provide education and outreach, because a lot of people don't. I mean, so how?
Yes.
How
she
do
just
you do
took
that?
My next question.
Yeah.
that's exactly what I was about to ask.
Education and outreach. Well,
yeah.
Yes, and yes. So I've actually written some free planning guides on all of these subjects, which are available on my website, free to download. mypinklawyer.com.
There you go. Plug it, girl.
But I also do a lot of workshops and speaking engagements around town too.
Yeah, I think that's really important because through school, I mean, definitely through middle school and high school, you know, you're not really taught, you know, about how to manage financial aspects of your life. And then you become an adult and you're sort of left, well, now what do I do? I don't even know how to, you know, balance a checkbook. And then people don't know what they don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
So
you
have to, sometimes it's important to just kind of get out there and reach.
Yeah.
The people
and economics class does not count, for the record.
That's
not real life stuff.
For the record. I say that because I have a degree in it. It doesn't work. So, okay. So you wrote some resources, some planning guides, but you've written some other stuff too, haven't
you? I did. I just recently wrote and published a book. You know, now my kids say, well, it's a little book. It's still a book.
It's still a book.
It is a book, darn
That's
it.
Right.
And it's called Wise Women Protect Their Assets, an Essential Estate Planning Checklist for Smart Women, which you can order from pinklawyerbook.com.
Cool.
And it's free. Oh, and basically, this book evolved out of a workshop that I give to a lot of groups, a lot of women's groups, on 10 disastrous estate planning mistakes that women make that mess up their families, basically.
Men probably make them too, but
men make
going
them
for
too.
The women.
Yeah, yeah. My outreach is to women, but I work with a lot of couples. And hey, I have the single guy or divorced guy that comes to me, and I just tell him, man, if you're a man enough to come to someone who calls herself my pink lawyer, I'm woman enough to plan for you.
There you go.
Very cool. So do you find that a lot in the legal profession? Do you find that men head towards male lawyers and women?
Not necessarily. No. I mean, I think if you look at my website and my marketing and my branding, it is going to turn off a certain demographic of person.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of men that still come to me.
Yeah.
And I think they like coming to someone who's down to earth, approachable, not stuffy, who's really going to answer their questions.
Yeah.
I don't have an agenda when you come to me. We're going to start off, get the lay of the land. I'm going to get the background. And then I'm going to start off by just asking you a bunch of questions about what it is we want to accomplish.
Cross-examination.
Yeah, yeah. Raise your right hand.
So I wanted to, do you still have the pink Cadillac?
I don't. You know, that's a lease through the company.
Okay.
So if you're not producing, it goes back.
Yeah, okay. That's all right. I'd say it was a fair trade.
That's okay. I just, I just treated myself to a new used vehicle, a Mercedes.
There you
first.
Go.
So I'm treating myself to now being closer to 50 than 40. So it's a sweet ride.
But still middle aged, right?
It's as nice as when I drove the Cadillac. I told my husband, this is as sweet as driving that Cadillac.
There you go. Well, Kristen, let's tell everybody where you're located and how they can get in touch with you and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so our office is located in downtown Pensacola. It's across from Seville Quarter. And they can reach out to me via my website. All my contact information is on that, www.mypinklawyer.com. Or if they don't have internet access, they can call the office, area code 850-439-1191.
Very cool. That's okay. It. Well, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
You've been fun. I want to read the book. Right? And I know a couple of people that probably do need to read the book. So I will pass it along for
thanks.
You. So hang out for a little while.
We'll do.
Mostly because Zach's blocking the door and you can't get out.
That's right.
So, okay. So now we're going to move on to the smell of the room with
Absolutely.
Your sauces here.
Yes.
So Patty and Doc, who do MB Family Foods.
Yes.
I'm looking at, and I posted a picture for those to see, Doc's Jamaican Jerk Sauce and Doc's Jamaican Hot Sauce.
Yes, sir.
So go for it. Start right. at the beginning.
We'll take turns here. My husband and business partner, Doc Bruce, we make these two amazing award-winning Jamaican sauces, Doc's Jamaican Jerk Sauce, Doc's Jamaican Hot Sauce. I'm going to let you, honey, say, you know, tell everybody, you know, kind of how you got started doing this, because that part's your story, and then I'll take it from there.
Well, I lived in Jamaica for a little while, for about a year, my life. And I'm a lifelong cook. I fell in love with the spices down there and the way that they cook, too. And when I came back to America, I started making my own sauces, but I couldn't find a jerk sauce that I thought really embodied the kind of stuff I tasted in Jamaica. So that's how I started making it. And as I made it, more people, relatives and friends came over and they would taste it. And sometimes people were driving around down the street would drive around the block and come back.
Yeah.
And to try and find out what the smell was coming from the grill.
Very cool.
So that's how I started that.
Yeah, so you know that's you know I he was making these sauces and really to say he makes sauces is just really an understatement, because really he's an alchemist.
Yeah,
you know, because as you know as a chef, mm-hmm. I mean, it's no easy task putting together ingredients and having it really turn out into, as I call it, a magical elixir.
Yep.
So, and it's addictive. I mean, you're going to see in a moment that it's addictive.
Well, and here's one of the things that I loved from your story, from reading and meeting you through the email and stuff as we went, but you live there. So you knew the culture, you've tasted the real food, the real thing. And so essentially you came home and you tried to create not a hot sauce, but a taste memory.
Yes.
You know,
which is
exactly what every chef or foodie or cook always tries to do, whether it's grandma's recipe, whether it's this thing I had this one time in this one place.
Yeah.
And it's like you said, sometimes it's very hard to do. And it's also very frustrating if you don't get it, because sometimes it's just that one thing that you're missing. So. And I know you're going to tell them about this, but you decided I'm missing the peppers, right? I have to grow my own.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't find the exact same kind of peppers that were used in Jamaica. Well, they're available, but...
But they're not Jamaican.
But they're not Jamaican. And but even so, I mean, what ended up happening is the two most popular peppers are a red Scotch bonnet and a Caribbean, what they call a Caribbean red.
Mm-hmm.
And the Caribbean reds are less hot, but they have a real unique flavor to them, but not a strong habanero type flavor.
Right.
So what ended up happening was we crossed both of the peppers. So our peppers are crossed between the red Scotch or the Caribbean red and the red Scotch bonnet. And the sauces themselves are, like you said, trying to create a memory can be daunting, because Jamaican sauces are really complex.
Yeah.
They have a lot of ingredients. The jerk sauce has 14 ingredients, and the hot sauce has 13 ingredients.
See, and as well as time, heat, whatever pressure, if you're cooking it. I know a lot of hot sauces, they cook under pressure these days, but you know, and so I don't know if you're doing any of that kind of stuff, but I can only imagine the amount of a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this. How many notebooks did he fill with writing the recipes?
Exactly. And I would put the hot sauce especially. That was the tough one, and it took me 6 years. And I would put it away for 2 weeks and not try it after I made a little change. And I wrote it down in a notebook, just like you said. And then one day I tried it, and it was like a eureka moment.
This is it.
It was it. And I ran over to my neighbor who loves hot sauces, and I said, man, you've got to try this.
And they've been hooked ever since,
Yeah. Created a lot of addicts.
Yeah. That's okay.
And for people who really enjoy hot sauce, what's nice about it is, and what you don't often get with hot sauces, the flavor precedes the heat. So a lot of times you know, everybody's out for that, you know, that hot.
That blow your head off your shoulders kind of thing. You know,
Exactly. But that really doesn't enhance the flavor of foods.
Yeah.
And I think that's what, you know, people really make note of our sauces is that the flavor comes first. So you get to experience that. And then the heat kicks in and it reaches its precipice and then it backs down. And then I say you have this euphoric recall, you know, so it's so good. You're like, oh, man, I so want to do this again. And because the heat doesn't dominate your food, you're not staring down at maybe your, you know, chicken wings or you know, thinking, man, I'd love to get to the next bite, but I just can't because, you know, my mouth is on fire. So this allows you to experience that heat, the flavor, like, let's do it again.
Yeah. And so instead you're looking at a almost empty bottle of Dr. Jamaican jerk sauce, wondering how you're going to get more.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, and then we add some real value to our products, too, because our website, mbfamilyfoods.com.
There you go.
Has some great recipes. And so that's where we really think outside of the bottle, if you will.
Yeah.
So we're always in the kitchen coming up with some unique recipes. And of course, traditional Jamaican jerk chicken, which we brought with us today, that's a mainstay. Yeah. You have to have that. But like today, we also brought with us some Jamaican grits. So
okay, what are Jamaican grits?
So Jamaican grits, man, wait till you guys try these. So we cook our stone ground grits in coconut milk. We saute some bacon, onions.
You had me a bacon,
bell pepper. I know, right? You know, and then slow cook those. You know, overnight. And of course, the longer you cook them, the creamier they become. And then they're also. Then we add our hot sauce to it, our the Jamaican hot sauce. Now, if you like a little less kick, you can substitute the jerk sauce, but the hot sauce really gives it some nice kick. Island chili. We brought some of that with us today. We have revolutionized chili. I lived in New Orleans for about 5 years, so I start my chili with a roux. And
there you go.
And because we want to keep it gluten-free, we use rice flour. But for those who don't have gluten intolerance, you know, you can go the traditional route. Yeah. And then we use white beans rather than chili beans. And then we use a quarter cup each of the Doc's Jamaican jerk sauce and Doc's Jamaican hot sauce. And, oh, man, it's like no other chili you have ever had.
So are these recipes that are on the site too?
These are recipes that are on our website, but we have other things too. Like Rasta Primavera. So I make a, so I know, right?
You got it.
You have to have Rasta Primavera, which is like an Alfredo sauce made with the jerk. And you can toss that with some pasta and grilled vegetables.
Yeah.
Oysters Rastafeller. So they're awesome on oysters.
Nice.
I love
oysters too.
Oh, absolutely. Makes great oysters.
Yeah.
Pumpkin soup in the fall. Now that's something that Everman's, who carries our sauces also, they use our recipe for the pumpkin soup. And that is that just sells out because it's it goes great with the pumpkin.
Okay, so well, you said Everman. So and aside from the website, where else? Because I know you guys are all over this town, right?
Yeah, we're in a lot of, you know, more of the specialty shops. Yep. You know, because we are an item that really appeals to foodies.
Sure.
You know, for people who care about the quality of the ingredients in their foods, because our sauces are organic, they're gluten free. There's no high fructose corn syrup, and that really sets us apart from competitors. So it's not just, you know, syrupy sugar with salt. These are quality ingredients. Apple Market, that was the first store that we've gotten that we got into. Mm-hmm. So we're really excited about that. But we're also in the bodacious shops downtown. We're at the butcher shop in Warrington, the Fresh Market.
The last butcher.
The last butcher.
We were talking about that earlier.
Pensacola's last butcher.
That's it.
So we're there. Everman's, like I said, they're a great community support. And then the website, mbfamilyfoods.com, has the complete listing of all the stores where we're located, so you can find where to shop. And, of course, you can shop from us online.
Sure.
So we have some great online deals, too, that some of them even offer free shipping because we think, you know, better to have sauce than pay for shipping.
That's right.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's it. Get them hooked.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly
well,
right.
I noticed you guys had a huge video element to your site, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, we do some really great recipe videos. And Doc, I'll let him tell you a little bit about that, but he is a musician and he does stop motion photography. So you're going to like dig.
Doc, is there anything you don't do?
No, there really isn't.
A renaissance man.
I know.
I don't speak well. You probably already figured that out.
You're doing just fine. You're doing just fine.
Well, yeah, I've always been interested in stop motion and I never had tried it. And because of the internet, so many things are available, including free programs for putting things like that together. And I don't even know how I got started, but the first one I did, I picked a bunch of our peppers when they were ripe, and I made little pepper people out of clay. So it's a claymation kind of cross, and it's a reggae concert where the Bottles are the band, and
it's awesome. You're your own marketing guru, man. I'm telling you.
And they're all on YouTube. You can go to MB Family Foods. Just type in MB Family Foods on YouTube, and you can see any of them. And then I won't go into details about all the stop motion, but I just got into that, and I did it in dining room table. I made a little stage and. And the first one came out good, so I made some more. And then I've been a lifelong musician, so I put together all the music.
I've got to know what songs you play with the Pepper Band now.
Well, the Pepper Band.
Is it all
the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
that was pretty good. That was good.
Yeah. It's just one. It's like a reggae tune, and it hasn't got any words. Actually, all the videos it's just music, and then I do recipe videos too that are not stop motion, but through photography and add music to those to make it really easy to
let
step by step.
Yeah,
kind of
letting them see how you guys use your sauces and how versatile it is. I'd say that was one of the things I was really impressed with. A lot of times, in the culinary world, you get a sauce and it is strictly for whatever the sauce is for, you know, or as opposed to getting things like these that are almost flavor enhancers and they can be used across the board in so many different ways.
You can take them in a lot of different directions.
Yeah.
That's what I loved about living in Jamaica was the food. I mean, I just it was like a party every day.
Yeah.
If you're a foodie.
Yeah.
And, I went over there expecting to lose, like 40 or 50 pounds. Like everybody else I knew.
Yeah.
And I came back about 20 pounds heavier.
Yeah, I believe it. So you get there and you get in with the locals and stuff. So you really get to see how different it is than what sometimes gets recreated on the cruise lines or the restaurants or, even Miami for that sake, you're there and you're in it and you watch the techniques that these guys use. And, and like you were saying, the different blends of things that sometimes you can only have there.
Yeah. In the grill, there's a couple 5-star restaurants and they cook on the beach.
Yeah.
Over a fire.
Yep.
Certain things.
Yeah. If it's not broke, why fix it? Right.
Yeah, well, it's the method of cooking too. It's all part of it.
Yeah,
I just loved it.
I'm just trying to make sure I heard this right. You're saying that on your website, you can teach people how to cook.
Sure.
These foods. I mean, to me, that sounds like some of the biggest value you create is not even just the sauces, but you're going to teach them how to learn new ways to cook.
Yeah, our recipe videos are somewhat entertaining.
Yeah.
So we're actually, and many of them, a couple of them actually, I'm doing the cooking, and those are pretty humorous.
I got a feeling you're a pretty good cook, more than you give yourself credit for.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do okay. Yeah, I have to say. But the videos themselves, I mean, we pretty much leave the bloopers in.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and our cocoa bread recipe, I think we've got about 23,000 views on it now, you know, because there's some funny things in there.
That's great.
But yeah, I think if you make them entertaining, and then you can actually, you know, cook the foods. And that's what a lot of our customers want, is to know how to use them. You know, right. I mean, these sauces you're going to use a lot more than you will maybe a bottle of barbecue sauce that stays in the door of your refrigerator from one summer to the next, you know, because you're not going to make a primavera sauce, you know, maybe with barbecue sauce, you know, but you will with this. You know, you may not think about putting barbecue sauce in a crock pot of grits, you know, but you will with ours.
Yeah.
You know, we make deviled eggs with it. You know, so
what was that website again?
See, Zach's getting good at this, isn't he?
I like it. MBFamilyFoods.com. So you definitely, and then we're all over social media. So you already know that we're on YouTube. You can follow us on Instagram. We're on Twitter. So we're
Facebook.
Obviously Facebook, you know, so we're all over the map.
I think that's a great idea with the video, just showing people how easy it is to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do it in, you know, not only are they easy recipes, because we're not professionally trained chefs. We just love good food. And so these are, for the most part, ingredients, common ingredients you're going to find in your pantry or very easily to pick up at the grocery store. And then they're basic recipes. And then we're not, you know, fundamentalist about our recipes. You know, hey, if you want to do something different, you want to substitute that, hey, you make it yours. We're just giving you a launching pad, you know, some place to start from so that you can kind of create some of your own unique things. Because we just want you to be thinking when next time you're in the kitchen, oh, you know what would be good on this? Let's try this with some of that Doc's Jamaican jerk sauce or some of the Doc's Jamaican hot sauce. So.
Okay, well, I want Doc to pull out the grit thing that he's got over there.
While
he's doing that, I'm going to ask you, Pat, what in 5 years when we're sitting here across this table, I've already booked you, so you'll be here.
Okay.
What are we celebrating?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, there are a couple things that we want to accomplish. I mean, we have our little fantasy, you know, I mean, I sometimes see myself, you know, on a home shopping network or on QVC, you know, really selling to the public and making some recipes there on their little set kitchen.
And it started right here, folks.
And it started right here, Pensacola Business Radio. Absolutely. You know, we've also entertained the idea of maybe doing some private label for other businesses that maybe want a unique hot sauce on their restaurant table.
That's tables. A great idea.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's
I
a
bet
little...
Kristen knows how to write that contract.
Yeah, I bet she does. Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's a hard task to accomplish because, you know, people who have their own hot sauces are pretty loyal to them.
Yeah.
You know, so getting, you know, restaurants, you know, to sort of look at your sauce as a viable option is sometimes a little bit of a challenge. But I can see that happening. And, of course, we'd like to expand beyond the panhandle.
Yeah,
sure. You know, and that's you know, that's posed a challenge for us. You know, as outgoing as we are, really, Doc and I are somewhat a little on the introverted side. So that's something that we, you know, could probably use Pat's help with there on how you know, to, and probably Zach's help with, to get out there and you know, learn how to really take the hits when people tell you no.
Yeah.
And be able
and keep
to
rolling with
and
the punches,
keep rolling
huh?
with the punches, because, you know, when it's your business, you tend to take it a little personally. And we're less, you know, we'll see about that. I mean, you know, in the beginning, we would get our feelings hurt if somebody, you know, said anything that maybe just didn't, like, what? You don't love these as much as we do? You know,
I know, you must be crazy. Like,
it's you, not us.
I think it took me probably maybe a year or so into the actual chef side of things for me to realize that it wasn't my fault you didn't like it. It's your fault. Right. That's your fault. That is your problem. I can't please everybody.
It must be
and
so
you don't
hard
know
to
what
have
you're
an
missing.
Impaired palate.
Exactly. Yeah.
That you can't taste the wonder in all of this.
All
so
right.
Yeah, so you're getting ready to taste these grits.
I just did. So excuse me for having
I love me
food.
Some Jamaican jerk grits.
This is good. All right, so what's in this, Doc? How does this work again?
The grits are cooked in coconut milk and water. And then after the grits are cooked, I chop up bacon and cook it in a pan, and then add onions and peppers to that. and then dump all that in, and then it's just one tablespoon of Doc's Jamaican hot sauce.
So the coconut milk is very subtle, which is cool because I know a lot of people get scared of coconut milk, even though it's probably one of the best flavors to cook with ever. The bacon is awesome because it's bacon.
Because it's bacon.
And the sauce is like, okay, so I get the flavor on the tip of my tongue, but then you're right, it has this really cool finish.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's a little hot again, and then it kind of cools down.
Yeah.
And then it's hot again, and then it's time for another bite.
Right.
Time for
another
Absolutely. Very cool.
That was just one tablespoon?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, and you can adjust it, of course, to your palate. Yeah.
Yeah, I kept it kind of low because I'm never sure how
No, it's not too hot. I just wouldn't have called it low either.
Yeah. So he's got like his tolerance level for low is like here.
Yeah. They are the best grits of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Doc can eat the pepper.
See, and I like spicy food, so I could handle more.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, right. Absolutely.
I love these grits.
You should try just some of the sauce there, Keith, and throw
I think what we're gonna do is because we're kind of running out of time here, is that we're gonna be able to taste the rest here off of the air, and we're going to take lots of pictures and post and let people know how it is. So I'm going to give Zach a chance, though, to kind of shout out for what he does, because you guys like part the sea over there and give him room. Yeah. I love it. So because Zach's going to do some recon, because he happens to travel a lot in the Business Radio X world area, I should say.
Yeah.
So I'm officially welcoming you to Pensacola and a recon partner for here.
Thank you so much, Keith. Yeah, I think more than anything, I just was fascinated by what Business Radio X does. I travel throughout the Southeast. I'm a financial guy, but I don't want to even talk about that. In my spare time as a hobby, I just go out and I talk to people that are in unique businesses, whether it's artists or restaurateurs or manufacturers or just people that create a great client experience. I'm just always fascinated by great businesses. And in connecting with you, I think it would be a lot of fun to help you meet more people like the folks that are in the room.
Yeah.
And so as I'm out and about, I may periodically
I'm going to get the Breaker 19, Breaker 19.
Right.
I got somebody for you. This is awesome.
I think about like the what's the guy's name? Mike Rowe, who does the dirty jobs.
Yeah.
Not dirty jobs, all those but just things unique.
All those things you never knew existed until you knew.
And some people, they just can't come into the studio. So I may be able to help you connect with some people that are
very cool
out there that just can't quite get in.
Yeah. Well, and I'm gonna connect you with our other Business Radio X studios. Like I said, they are totally in your geographic area, so this should be fun.
Fantastic.
It should be like, what does Zach have today? So cool. Well, listen, we're at the end of our time here, but I want to thank everybody for coming in and hanging out, and stay because we're gonna eat, and I don't have to worry about lunch. This is perfect. So,
I want some more grits right now.
It smells awesome in here. So, okay, guys, you can find us at Pensacola Business Radio on Facebook, at Pcola Radio X on Twitter, and you can find us at our website at pensacola.businessradiox.com. Again, thank all of you for coming in, and if you're missing this show or any part of it, we'll have the rest of it posted later today. This has been Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters.